Welcome to the Connect Kindness Podcast, where we connect people with organizations to inspire kindness. I'm your host, Crystal Aziz, and I'm joined by my co-host, Tim Evans.
In today's episode, we interview Jean Ciccarella, one of the co-founders of Misión de Caridad. Their mission is to provide programs and resources for refugees, migrants, and vulnerable women and children on the Mexican side of the U.S. border.
Jean shares with us the origin story of her organization and talks about the programs and resources for women and children on the Mexican side of the U.S. border. We learn about some of the struggles and lessons that Jean has learned while running a nonprofit internationally. Jean also shares her favorite success story and why she loves doing what she does every single day. So without further delay, this is our interview with Jean Ciccarella of Misión de Caridad.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Connect Kindness Podcast today. Can you share with our listeners what is Misión de Caridad and what needs do you serve?
Yes, I will tell you, Misión de Caridad is a nonprofit serving women and children, migrants and refugees on the Mexico side of the U.S. border, helping them live independently and self-sufficiently, free of extreme violence, persecution, and extreme poverty.
So you're located in the U.S., your nonprofit, a majority of the work is done in Mexico.
Yep.
I'm really interested in what is the inspiration behind starting the organization and how did it all come to be?
Yeah, well, the first thing is we believe that it's really important to be in the area where you're serving and to have people that understand the culture and can implement the services locally. So then you'd say, well, how does a woman from Boston do that in Mexico? And my co-founder and I, Francisco Ortega, started Misión de Caridad because we saw a need at the border. We saw a lot of people waiting, and especially women and children in desperate situations. And we thought we need to do something about this. And I had already taken a missions trip to Mexico 3 years before. I'd never realized how much I would stay involved with the people of Mexico, but I did. And then when this opportunity came up, when Francisco said to me, my heart is breaking for these women and children. And I said, I feel the same way. We said, let's start an organization. And so that's how it came to be.
That is just incredible. You mentioned that you're empowering women and children in those areas. What are some of the programs that you guys have going on?
Yeah, well, the first thing we do is we get to know the people that we serve. So there's a lot of people in the community that we serve that are poor. And so we consider that we serve the poorest of poor, those that aren't just financially poor, but they're also educationally poor, their support network poor, they're relationally poor, their health poor. There's a lot of areas where they have poverty in their life. And because of that, it actually makes it even, I think, more difficult for them to escape the poverty that they're in. So the first thing we do is we develop a relationship with the families and the community so we can understand what are the fundamental needs that a community has that we can help with. Once we understand those needs, then we develop programs. So our programs span everything from food assistance, where on a monthly basis, we provide healthy groceries for families to provide meals. We provide a weekly program for families that includes health classes. It includes exercise class, programs for children to teach them on health and dental, a programs class or project class for women, where we're teaching them to make things, and then we're buying those things from them. This is our goal in the future. We actually have two projects we're teaching them now, and our goal in the future is to buy the things from them, sell them online so we give them some income. We distribute clean water. We have regular medical fares. You know, and I could tell you a whole bunch of things about each one of those things, but our projects or programs are holistic, and they look at the whole person, and then look at, okay, what areas can we help them escape poverty? So if I could add one more thing, when you think about the fact that people migrate or come from different areas and they don't know one another, poverty of community is a big need, right? They don't know each other. They don't have relationships with one another. So we do a weekly game time where families all come together and play games. And that way they can get to know each other. There's friendly competitions. There's things that they can enjoy together. And they get to know each other at the same time.
Jean, you mentioned about the health programs that your organization offers. Can you go into detail about the dental program?
Yeah, it's really interesting because, you know, we think about ways in which we help people, but if we don't really think about the root causes that put them in the situation that they're in, then we don't always address really what the need is. So we had our medical fair and we realized that kids were not brushing their teeth. We could see, you know, anytime you open your mouth for a dentist, they can tell you pretty much if you're brushing your teeth or not, right? So it's really obvious by the fact that we saw kids with 5-10 cavities and also no evidence of teeth brushing. Well, the funny thing is we had been distributing toothbrushes and toothpaste. So we thought, oh, okay, that's enough, right? They must not have a toothbrush. But our medical fair really opened our eyes to the fact that it's not enough to distribute a toothbrush. You have to really change a pattern of using a toothbrush, because if you've never really been taught that brushing your teeth is something that you do, now you have to create that pattern. And so we started to educate families and children, and we still do. We do this weekly with children about the importance of brushing their teeth. And we have puppets and we have all different kinds of things that we use and incentives. We give them a toothbrush holder. And the toothbrush holder came out of the fact that we had been doing these dental classes for months. And then I went to one of the houses of the children. I said, hey, where's your toothbrush? And they're like, well, I don't know. And I thought, wait, you don't know where your toothbrush is? And I realized, well, these families don't have bathrooms the same way we do. There's no sink to put your toothbrush. There's no central place when you get up in the morning that you walk into the bathroom, right? A lot of times they have an outhouse. And so we realized, oh, we need to create even a pattern for where your toothbrush is. So you can see your toothbrush, you can remember you have it, and then of course you brush your teeth. So that teeth brushing or education program on health and wellness of teeth is really important because your teeth are a fundamental part of your health. You know, if you have teeth pain, if you're missing teeth, you know, that all is a potential issue for whether or not you go to school or if you get a good job, if you're missing all your front teeth. You know, those are hindrances in your life that really can impede your ability to become independent and also escape poverty.
What would you say makes your organization unique?
I would say it's the relationships that we form. You know, I think there's a tendency, and this is sort of a US tendency, but probably many other places too, where we just throw resources at people and there's no end to the resources. Right? We provide food insecurity. We provide houses. We build houses for people. We provide clothing. We provide all these things for people, but they never have the opportunity to feel loved, to feel cared for at the deepest level by being known, and also address the root causes that cause us to have to give all this aid. And so one of the things that I think we do is unique is one, all of our staff works and lives in Mexico. So they're all within the communities that we're serving. And then also we're looking at, like I mentioned, the root causes by developing relationships. So we do a lot of surveying. We have another survey we're going to do. We have two surveys we're doing. One is going to be on Saturday. And this one's going to be, what did you eat in the last 24 hours? Because we're working with nutritionists to continue to improve our programs, what we feed our children in our education program, what we give out in our Saturday programs for snacks. And so we're always evaluating, are we giving all the right nutrients and all the things that we need to? So one of the ways we do that is we do surveys, and then we give the information to our nutritionists to look at and say, hey, you should consider giving milk out, or, you know, we see that there's deficiencies here. You should consider, you know, doing these types of things. And so that's often what we'll do. And I think that's unique as well. So it's just continually circling back around with different types of questions. So we make sure that the programs that we're implementing aren't our own ideas. So yeah, it's great. We implement this program, but if you can't take advantage of it, if all the kids are removing the lettuce from their sandwich and that's the only vegetable we're providing, well, then we haven't provided the vegetable, right? So we need to analyze that and say, okay, are we really doing what we think we're doing? And that's, the lettuce is a silly example, but it's the idea of always looking at what you're doing and saying, are we meeting the targets and the objectives of what we're trying to do? And so I think that does make us unique.
I also think that you guys focusing on, you know, a certain amount of set of families and really bringing the poorest of the poorest, you know, community up is unique as well. Because sometimes, you know, nonprofits or just people in general might want to target the mass, you know, just to make a difference. But are you truly making a long lasting difference, a sustainable difference? And your nonprofit is definitely doing that from everything that we've seen on our end, the photos, speaking with you. And I do want to commend you on that. You guys are targeting your audience. You're truly listening to them. And then making a difference, helping them out in whatever way you can. And I know that they feel the love and they're excited to partner with you guys. And we were moved by hearing your guys' story whenever we first found out about it because of how unique your nonprofit is. So just wanted to say, great job, Jean.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah.
Of course. I know that you're kind of co-leading here by living here in the United States and then also having a co-founder in Mexico. So what has been one of your biggest lessons about running that as an organization? Because that's very rare that we found out too, between all the nonprofits that we've spoken to.
Well, I have to say the success of being able to do this from where I am is having a co-founder in Mexico. Francisco does an outstanding job of managing the team there. And then, you know, he makes it easy for me. So I go there typically once a month, right? I go to Mexico once a month and serve with the team. And then Francisco and I interact on a daily basis. And we have multiple meetings a week and I meet with our staff on a regular basis. So I have my hand in every program from far away. And then when I'm in Mexico, I'm actively engaged in the work that we're doing. But quite honestly, without Francisco leading the team there and the work that he does, you know, we couldn't be as successful. So it really does require the people and the team on the ground. And we have about 44 people or so that work for Misión de Caridad in Mexico.
Can you share a success story that sticks out in your mind?
I think our greatest success is when we can take women in the community and we can improve their lives. And so I think I have two in my mind, the two that come to mind, and that is women that we've been able to hire from within the community to work for our organization. Actually, there's three of them, but two in particular that I think of is one, a woman who runs our water program, Fabiola. So 5 days a week, she actually coordinates all of our water and makes sure when families come, they can get clean drinking water. And Helica is the other person. She was part of our weight loss challenge last year. She was our winner. She lost the most amount of weight. And that was an effort of us to try to help women improve their lives through improving their health through a competition, because sometimes that's what it takes for us to like kind of get motivated and going. And anyway, Angelica now runs our exercise program for women. And both of these women, Fabiola and Angelica, live within the community which we serve.
That is awesome. You know, for our listeners who want to get involved with Misión de Caridad, how can they get in touch with you and your organization?
Well, I'll tell you the easiest way or the best impact, most impact you can make for us is follow us on social media, on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, all the different places, LinkedIn, right? And like us, comment on our posts. That is hugely helpful. So that's an involvement that you can do right from your chair. If people want to help in other ways, they certainly could donate. Or if they want to donate their time, then they can just reach out to me, Jean at mbcarid.org, C-A-R-I-D-A-D.org. And we can talk about, you know, ways that they might be able to get involved.
Awesome. And what's your handles on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook?
Misión de Caridad, typically.
Okay.
Is how you can find us.
Awesome.
Crystal, we need to get on TikTok. We're not on TikTok. Jean, you're on TikTok. That's
we're trying. We're trying. These are not easy platforms. Yeah. They require it. And you know, sometimes we're just on these platforms like TikTok just to be present.
Sure.
But yeah, it requires some thought and effort and we go back and forth. But
thought
yes.
And dance moves and you know, good music.
I am in a TikTok. I have a Misión de Caridad TikTok. It is horrifying, but sometimes you take one for the team, right? So expecting to see you guys in a TikTok.
Yes, absolutely. Well, Jean, thank you so much for spending some time with us today and sharing more about your organization. What you're doing is amazing, and just keep it up. It's awesome.
Thank you. Really appreciate your time, guys. It's been a pleasure to get to know you, and I look forward to continuing to stay in touch.
Thank you so much for listening to the Connect Kindness podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please share it on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. At Share Give Do. And please remember, the world is changed by your example, not by your opinion.